Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel and I asked him his name. It's a financial company. And I realized this angel is here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans. And it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
But there's this old school, and I think it's a very Christian concept, by the way. You love your family, and then you love your neighbor, and then you love your community, and then you love your fellow citizens in your own country. And then after that, you can focus and prioritize the rest of the world.
We used to call that common sense. This is Wretched Radio. J.D. Vance, lighten up the blogosphere, the internet machine, wherever people go to fight online, which is, I think, pretty much everywhere, because he made some comments to Sean Hannity that have caused other politicians to argue against J.D. Vance's understanding of concentric circles. And the Ordo Amoris, you say, what's an Ordo Amoris? I say it's delicious with a pesto mayonnaise, but it also happens to be a Latin phrase meaning the order of love. That you as a human being have a finite amount of time and temperament and actual love to give. You cannot love everybody on the planet simultaneously with the same intensity. You can't. That's kind of duh, isn't it? Nevertheless, J.D. Vance got trounced on for it because it's in the context of putting America first. And of course, you know, these days, that's a great big no-no.
A lot of the far left has completely inverted that. They seem to hate the citizens of their own country and care more about people outside their own borders. That is no way to run a society. And I think the profound difference that Donald Trump brings to the leadership of this country is the simple concept, America first. It doesn't mean you hate anybody else. It means that you have leadership and
presence. No, it means you hate people who don't live in America. I think we need to discuss postmodernism in the context of the Ordo Amoris, because postmodernism doesn't allow for loving somebody more than another person. We are to be lovers of people, all people. But isn't it rather obvious, and as we will see in a moment, biblical, that you love some people more than others, you know, like your spouse and your kids? And to the critics of the Ordo Amoris that J.D. Vance is citing, I would ask you, then show me how you do it. Just tell me, how do you go about the business of loving everybody with the same amount of intensity? You're finite in every regard. I was going to say virtually every regard, but in every regard. We can't love all people all the time, but that is not to suggest we don't love all people. We are constrained by our finiteness. We are not the people that possess omni-anything. So J.D. Vance is right, but again, it's because of the context of putting America first. Postmodernism says you can't say, you can't do that. You can't say that one society is better than another because there's no better in postmodernism, even though they don't live by their what they profess to believe. Postmodernism denounces anything as being better than another, especially when it comes to culture. You simply can't make those comments. Stereotypes, forget about it. Ever stating that this be, by the way, Paul did some stereotyping. Now, it doesn't mean that it should be pejorative. It doesn't mean that it should be delivered from a heart of hatred. But when he talked about the Cretans, he agreed they're lazy people. Does that mean every Cretan is lazy? No, but in general. Does that mean Paul hated the Cretans? No, it means he was observing something that was pervasive in their civilization. So I do believe that we actually have biblical support to make those observations that some cultures are better than others. I'm sorry, some art is better than others. Some music is just plain better than others. There are governments that are better than others. To those people would say, no, no, we can't judge. We can't say that anything's better than anything else. Then go check out North Korea. Now tell me, Tell me how you feel about living there. I hope that they would say, that ain't good there. Bingo. This isn't so hard, is it?
President Trump has been very clear about this, that puts the interests of American citizens first. In the same way that the British prime minister should care about Brits and the French should care about the French, we have an American president who cares primarily about Americans, and that's a very welcome change.
That is a difference these days, which is kind of staggering because that used to be assumed. You're the president of the United States because of concentric circles. You take care of your own first. Now, this doesn't have anything to do with borders at the moment. It has everything to do with the ability of human beings and the responsibility of human beings toward one another. Not one, but two articles commenting on this controversy. It's just weird. It's like, hey, Jimmy, if the progressives are right, you have to take care of my children the same way you take care of your children.
Okay.
Yeah, get on it.
Yeah,
let me know when you're going to squeeze that in exactly. It's not just common sense. It's biblical and it's even historical, philosophically. This is from First Things. This old school idea started, well, maybe didn't start with him, but he's the one who codified it. Aristotle, in his Politics, takes a look at society's growth and how a society functions. From the bonding of men and women, then to families, then to villages, and finally to the highest form of community, the city-state. So even a pagan, like Aristotle, got it. You have loyalties that start nearest to you. And we'll get into the Christian aspect of this, but that's why the local church is so important. If you had to love every single Christian the same amount of time, the same amount of intensity, you wouldn't hold a job, you couldn't sleep, you would just have to run around the planet loving everybody, and you go, that just seems kind of dumb. Agreed. And so God, understanding our finiteness, says you're going to love these Christians especially. Does that mean you don't love Christians in Belize? No, it doesn't mean that. It just means that God has sovereignly placed us in a particular zip code. And the command, and as we will see in Scripture, is that we start here. We start in the home, and we work our way out. Back to the Stoics. This is Cicero. They talked about the idea of being a polis as opposed to cosmopolitan. You got to be thinking about your own polis, your own town, before you can think about the rest of the towns. In other words, your ability to love everything is limited to our immediate sphere of concern. Then we go out based on our ability to do so. But forget the pagans. Let's get to the Bible, shall we? This I found rather funny. Now, this article happens to be from WNG. This is our very own fellow, Andrew Walker. It's kind of funny because it was another politician who took issue with J.D. Vance saying, politicians, his name is MP Rory Stewart. He's British, obvious. Or is he Canadian? Would you look up MP Rory Stewart? Canadian or British? He went to X, where all good arguments go, claiming that J.D. Vance has a very bizarre take on John 15. So he's quoting the Bible. This politician is quoting the Bible. He's saying it's less Christian and more pagan tribal. And then this quote, this is the quote of the week. We should start worrying when politicians become theologians. But that's exactly what you're doing, dude. Doing the exact same thing when they tell us that they speak for Jesus and tell us in which order to love, which is exactly what he's doing. Where's this guy from? Canada?
No, he's a British politician.
He is a British politician. Stewart, he appealed to John 15, that the man who lays down his life, that the act of sacrifice is something that God esteems. indeed. And you could even argue, well, that's exactly what Jesus did, and that had worldwide implications. Yes, but that was a one-time act. None of us can do that. Now, that argument doesn't have much force, but the Good Samaritan argument does. There's some power to it, because what do we see? Somebody who is hurt, that is being ignored by others, is taken care of by, of all people, a Samaritan. Now, the question is, we all observe that, what is the application? What is the meaning of this? Now, this MP basically used it to say, this is why we need to have foreign aid.
What?
Keep in mind, the Good Samaritan couldn't have been a Good Samaritan to somebody who was beaten up 17 miles away. He had to be within his zip code. In other words, he had to be near. The message of the parable is not that a person should help all victims wherever they are located, but whatever differences divide us from the suffering, we must care for those who fall within the compass of our practical concern. Bingo. That's the lesson of the Good Samaritan, not foreign aid. It's that we love all people, and particularly those who are closest to us, based on our ability to do so. The Ordo Amoris. Delicious. This is Wretched Radio.
You might not see them, but the world keeps handing you chains. Chains of fear, chains of people-pleasing, chains of self-love disguised as confidence. It tells you that your worth is found in self-esteem, that your security is found in human approval, and that your strength is found in emotional indulgence or cold, hard stoicism. It's all a trap. And on The Better Way with Libby Glossin, she's cutting through the lies. This isn't just another self-help pep talk, never cheesy, never shallow, just powerful, practical, biblical truth that sets women free. This is Intelligent Talk Radio for women, because real freedom doesn't come from looking inside yourself. It comes from looking up to Christ. If you're ready to ditch the world's empty solutions for something real, it's time for The Better Way with Libby Glossin. Because in a world full of compromise, there indeed is a better way.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Marriage, parenting, mental health, cultural engagement. The challenges facing today's Christians aren't getting any simpler. But at Fortis Institute, we believe God's Word provides the clarity you need. That's why we brought together some of Christianity's most trusted voices under one roof. If you want practical marriage wisdom, Brad Bigney's Thrive podcast delivers biblical solutions that work. If you're struggling with anxiety or depression, Greg Gifford's Transformed brings biblical counseling straight to your ears. And if you're looking for authentic manhood, Adam Tyson's Way of Manhood cuts through the cultural noise. Plus, get daily insights from our team of fellows, including exclusive Gary Varvel cartoons that'll make your day. This isn't just another ministry. It's your daily source for biblical strength and wisdom. And if you want to stay informed about private events and exclusive content, become a Fortis Insider today, all at fortisinstitute.org. Fortis Institute, because standing firm doesn't mean standing alone.
Books of the Bible. Zechariah was a prophet who preached God's judgment, repentance, and the promise of salvation to the Jews returning from exile. He relays a series of apocalyptic visions focusing on the coming of Christ, the final salvation of God's people, and the final judgment upon sinners. Remember that Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of prophecy. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Forget about Latin, which is a good idea. Let's talk Greek, shall we? This is Wretched Radio, courtesy of Vice President J.D. Vance, being interviewed by Sean Hannity, claiming that Donald Trump is putting America first based on a classic and biblical idea that has been tagged as the Ordo Amoris, the order of love. That you, as a finite human being, can't love the entire planet simultaneously with the same intensity. It starts with your family and it works its way out. By the way, those concentric circles, got to be a little careful about this because you might be inclined to think nothing but spatially. I think it's maybe better to consider institutionally, even as we consider proximity. In other words, your circles don't go, oh, family, then neighbor. Nope. It's family, church. That's your next circle. Those people that are gathered together with you, having committed to that local expression of the church, which, by the way, that concept of the local church, that is another demonstration of Ordo Amoris, that you love those people and you can practice the one another's with those people. Well, then I would say outside of the church, then you can go to your neighbor. Then you can go to your town, state, nation. And then you can even go across national borders to help other people. Why? Because we are good Samaritans. We don't see those people from that country. Let them starve. No, we help as much as we are able to. And these two concepts, they are not in any sort of tension with one another, or somehow do they compromise that we are indeed called to love our neighbors and even our enemies? So how can we do both? How can we say that we're good Samaritans that have an Ordo Amoris? Well, the answer is found perhaps in Greek. This is a word study on the word neighbor from the Good Samaritan. The word is plaseion. It's means near or close by. So when you are called to love your neighbor like the Good Samaritan did, they got to be near. This is not a call to, as if we possibly could, go to every scene where there's an accident and jump in and help. The parable itself limits it to people who are nearby. Now, that is not to suggest we don't love others. And it doesn't mean that we think that we're better the further away people are from us. And we certainly don't think we're better because of skin color, gender, hair color, whatever external marker that you want to use that are entirely not related, if you will, to the Imago Dei. Human beings are intrinsically valuable because they are Imago Dei, made in God's image. And not because of their ability to dunk a basketball. And by the way, when is the basketball season going to end? Yikes! Just dominates TV these days.
It just started.
Just started?
In October.
In October? Okay.
It goes through June.
It's like baseball. Like they're playing the World Series. Hey, everybody, we've opened up the Christmas present. Should we go watch the World Series? When does that season end? They're all getting crazy long, but I digress. We love everyone, but it's not contradictory to say, especially those of the household of faith. Let me take you to the article that was written by our very own fellow Andrew Walker. You can love your family and your neighbor. 1 Timothy 5:8. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Well, what is that? That's the Ordo Amoris. That is loving the people who are closest to you. And furthermore, relationally, that you have something else in common with them. In other words, it's okay that you love family more than the neighbors down the street. And you've got biblical permission to do so. Now, in the meantime, you've got the Good Samaritan, which some people, they have brought up to criticize J.D. Vance's concept of ordo amoris, which I find not surprising, because we were told long ago, no culture is better than another, no nation is better than another nation, which is just observably ridiculous. There are some nations, I don't care how liberal you are, you probably don't want to go live there. The parable of the Good Samaritan establishes neighborly love extends beyond cultural or national identity. That's the point of the parable. Nevertheless, the ordo amoris, the order of love, can be harmonized quite nicely, and Andrew Walker does that. First, every person is our neighbor. Every person is our neighbor. Now, the ability to help everybody because of proximity obviously is in view, but we don't see people from a perch of superiority. We love all people because Christian love doesn't discriminate. That's what the Good Samaritan, it reminds us, mercy is not confined by borders or ethnicity or familiarity. But, okay, so for instance, you find somebody who is hurting on the street. It's your Good Samaritan moment. And you want to take care of that person. So you call 911. Question, would you get into the ambulance with them? Would you then go to the hospital and, despite not being able to shower, stay with them for days until they recover? Most likely not. And I don't think anybody would think you're a horrible human being for not doing so. But I'll bet you'd do that if it were your kid or your spouse. In fact, if you didn't do that with your kid, I think the world, even progressives, would say, what's the matter with that person? Bingo. So the first lesson about the ordo amoris and the Good Samaritan is we love all people. Second, some neighbors have a greater claim on our care. We're called to love all, but we have unique obligations to those that are closest to us. Parents with kids, spouses to one another, members of a church to fellow believers. That would be your Galatians 6:10, Rexella. There's concentric circles of care. Number three, radical hospitality and responsibility are not mutually exclusive. Prioritizing our family and immediate community, I would say church, doesn't mean ignoring others. The Good Samaritan, he acted because he had both proximity and the means. Ditto, when we encounter those in dire need, we're called to respond in love, regardless of their background. We wouldn't run up to somebody who's on the street hurting and look down and go, oh, you're not American. I guess you'll just have to bleed out. That's ridiculous. So why the kerfuffle over this? Something that is just commonsensical, and that nobody who disagreed with J.D. Vance and this biblical idea of ordo amoris, that their lives do not remotely reflect their commentary and critique of him. I think it's simply because it's about putting America first. And that is repulsive to liberals. They hate the idea that one nation should be, perhaps even the nation that you live in, that you think it's better than any other nation. That used to be standard fare. You loved your nation. Why? Because that's where God sovereignly puts you. So I love the place where I am. And if I had been born in Canada, I would be putting Canadians, say, yeah, well, yeah, this is the land that I love more than Cuba. I don't live there. I love this land. And liberals hate that idea. That is, for them to accept what J.D. Vance said would mean that they have to surrender their postmodern worldview. That's not going to happen. This is the close from Andrew Walker. The problem arises when we either neglect those closest to us in pursuit of distinct acts of charity, or use familial duty as an excuse to ignoring the suffering of others. We are to love as much as we can, wherever we can, with whatever means God has provided us. And we don't use anything as an excuse for that, even putting America first. Now you say, so does that mean that we just have to open up the Federal Reserve and pour out money? No, I didn't suggest that at all. But we should be willing to, even as conservatives, be willing to say, hey, if God has blessed our nation and we are able to wisely help others, not just by giving away money, but by actually helping those people so that they can help themselves. I almost quoted a Bible verse that doesn't exist right there. Then we should be willing to do so. Why? Because that is the lesson of the Good Samaritan. But the lesson of the Good Samaritan isn't so broad that you have to send foreign aid and that you have to treat everybody with the same amount of attention and affection as those people who are living underneath your own roof and whom you see hopefully more than once a week in church. This is Wretched Radio.